CBS has confirmed Tom Petty has died. Boy, he was so good at Summerfest. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Just best rock shows I've ever seen. It happened to be Tom Petty this summer at Summerfest with Chris Stapleton opening.
The tour he was on just ended
so
last
good.
Week.
Really, his tour just ended. And it was mostly Full Moon Fever. He played a lot of Full Moon Fever, and he played a lot of Wildflowers. And a lot of people around me were complaining he played a lot of Wildflowers music. That happens to be my favorite Tom Petty album, is Wildflowers. But personally, I mean, he's in my top 10 rock acts of all time. So he did ride his horse pretty hard, though. Tom Petty did. That said, you can read all about it. We've got it up on WIBA.com. He had a heart attack, and they were unable to revive him. So that is entertainment news today. Again, USC, there wasn't an active shooter at USC. So if you see that out on Twitter today, ignore that. No, what you're seeing now on the Las Vegas story is it is now in the realm of pure politics. It didn't even take that long. It didn't take an hour. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Not that you need to know this, but I got up in the middle of the night and my phone had been dinging and it kind of was keeping me sort of in a half sleep. So I grabbed my phone with me and I looked at my news alerts and it was the news of this massacre in Las Vegas. And within the 2 hours of that story going out and me waking up and looking at my phone, politics had already started to be played. You had already seen people saying everything from, well, they were a bunch of Donald Trump supporters, so, you know, go to hell, to see this is what happens when you don't have universal background checks. And then, of course, within a handful of hours, it was a full-on, full-court press for gun control. And, the very first thing that complained about was Donald Trump's condolences to the families of the people who had died. John Lott is on the phone with me right now. John, I mean, we're going to, it's the same thing. Every story, it doesn't matter that this doesn't check easy boxes. This story is a bizarre, bizarre story. And yet, we can't even talk about the story. We have to talk about the politics of this. But it's great to have you. CrimeResearch.org is your website. And War Against Guns is your book. Economist John Lott, thanks for joining me.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who was awakened in the middle of the night. But no, I mean, this is a horrible tragedy. And the bizarre thing is that even before we know the facts, people are speaking out on what they think will solve this. So, you know, I don't know how many times we have to see this type of thing happen, but, you know, after the Alexandria shooting, you had people like Governor Sheriff McCullough, the Democratic governor of Virginia, was out there calling for a list of different types of gun control that he wanted to have. But it turned out that the killer in that case, or the attacker, had bought his guns in Illinois, which had all those regulations that the governor was claiming solved these types of attacks from occurring. You know, you mentioned, and I've heard it today, about background checks on private transfers. There's not one mass public shooting during the Obama administration, or even in years before, back to at least 2000, that would have been stopped by having those types of rules in effect. But yet it didn't stop former President Obama from going out after each of mass public shootings and saying, you know, that this would be the solution for these types of attacks, even though it had nothing to do with each one of the attacks that he came out and called for it afterwards.
You know, we have what looks like, and again, we are working on sketchy information. The police have not released a list of the types of guns that Stephen Paddock had in Las Vegas. But if you listen to the video, it sounds like automatic fire. So, yep. You know, it's one of two things. It's either an automatic weapon or it was a slide fire that he was using. But at least the guys I know who are familiar with bump stocks or slide fires say that the chance of those things going bad, you know, the chance of those things, you know, being reliable are pretty slim over that long of a period of time. So they think it was an actual machine gun, in which case, John, the police said it was that he owned his guns legally and he bought many of them in California. He would have gone through extensive background checks in order to get his hands on the guns, exactly what the liberals say they need to solve these shootings from ever happening again.
Well, you know, if you got them in California, California has background checks on private transfers. And so, you know, people were calling for that as a solution. Again, just like with the San Bernardino attack, it wouldn't have been relevant for stopping the attack from occurring there. But, you know, I mean, I listened to the audio, too, and it seems to me it's a machine gun. What is unusual here is that out of all the mass public shootings that we've had in the United States, this would be the first one involving a machine gun. I mean, time after time, I can't tell you, Wolf Blitzer, when I've been on his show, or others, they say, well, you know, what about the machine guns used in these attacks? And I have to explain to them that none of them have used machine guns. But, you know, the amazing thing is Europe. All the mass public shootings, a lot of the mass public shootings there involve actual machine guns. You look at the four different mass public shootings that occurred during 2015 in Paris and one other place in France. All those involved machine guns. Of course, they also had grenades and other things that were there, too. But, you know, you look around the world, the United States is relatively an oasis when it comes to mass public shootings, despite what the impression that you might get from the media. Mass public shootings are much more common in vast areas of the world. You know, fatality rates in Europe are higher than they are in the United States if you go from 1970 through the beginning of this year. You know, in Africa and Asia and other places, they're much higher, South America. And in a lot of those cases involve machine guns. So, you know, if anything, this is an aberration. I hope the only one. But you know, the other thing about this is almost impossible one to go and stop. I mean, I see people going blame security at the hotel. What's this? We want all the hotels to go and do, you know, send screening of bags that are taken up to the rooms that people have. You know, I don't know. And you have a guy who breaks out the window on the 32nd floor and firing from there into a crowd of 40,000 people. And the guy doesn't even have to be a decent shot. He can be an incredibly horrible shot, and he's going to hit something. You know, the impossible thing, he has a door barricaded, and somehow, you know, and he's in a room, nobody's going to be direct next to him. If somebody's going to be shooting back at him, they're going to have to be an expert marksman to be able to go and
correct.
Hit him.
So there's nothing, that was something else, is that it's very frustrating. There wasn't much you could do except get out of there. I mean, that was right. Kind of what you could do. And you could tell a lot of people couldn't quite believe they were actually hearing machine gun fire. When it occurred right. to those many people, and I'm sure many folks have seen all of, there's a multitude of videos out there, that it's horrible because you know what's happening. You're thinking, run! But you're not used to that. So this, you're right. Everything sort of about this was an aberration. How it was almost out of a movie or a TV show. And now it's, you know, now it's Hollywood in real life. But we don't have a lot of machine gun crimes in the United States. They're very, very highly regulated. But they're expensive guns. Did he have a machine gun? Again, we don't know. You know, maybe at the end of the day.
I don't even know if he had it legally. But what I can say is, I know of no murder since the 1930s, since 34, when they started regulating and licensing machine guns, that's been committed with a machine gun that's been licensed. I don't know of one single murder that occurred. But, you know, that's besides the point here. I'm just saying we don't even know enough. We're just getting into this stuff right now. And for us to be talking about what types of rules and regulations, I mean, first of all, a lot of the initial reports on all these things turn out to be wrong. You know, the type of gun used, how they obtain it. I can go through the case where the media got the initial stories wrong. I mean, and it's just not even the type of gun. There are other things. The things, you know, I can find you dozens of paragraphs in the New York Times referring to body armor, you know, that the shooters were wearing, like in the Aurora, Colorado Batman movie theater shooting, that just were nylon vests and things like that. So, you know, one, we don't even have the newspaper speculating about stuff yet. And many of the early things are going to be wrong. So why don't we wait a day or something to try to figure out what the facts are before we go and start reaching conclusions about what we need to do?
Because even though you're an economist, you've been studying guns and gun violence for a long, long time. you know that the first inclination is to pounce on the politics. What is different in 2017, I think, than maybe in 2010 or just a few years ago is that no one's even giving it 5 hours to percolate before you pounce on the politics. Right. So it's all about seize the moment. And right now, they're talking about, although it's going nowhere, they're talking about national concealed carry reciprocity. The NRA is talking about loosening restrictions on the fees for suppressors. And so there's two, gun issues there. Here in Wisconsin, we've got a constitutional carry provision we're considering in Wisconsin. So use this, and there's it's a utilitarian response. It doesn't matter how many people are dead. The more that are dead, the easier it is to make the political case, and that's the unfortunate shame of all of this.
Well, one thing you mentioned, reciprocity. Well, that's one thing that would have actually stopped one of these recent attacks, or been likely to. You had the Alexandria shooting, where Bernie Sanders supporter was upset with the politics and tried to take out Republican congressmen who were practicing for the intramural baseball game with the Democrats there. And, I've talked to a number of the congressmen that were there. At least, I think, five or six of them have concealed carry permits. I talked to staff who were there who have concealed carry permits, and they tell me that they regularly carry. Other ones wouldn't say whether they do or not have the permits, and I suppose a lot of them are just reluctantly to publicly say whether they do, but they still probably have the permits. And the thing is, they couldn't have them with them that day because they live in D.C. They're not allowed to carry as they travel through D.C. And they would be returning to work yep. after their early morning practice, and so they'd be breaking the law, bringing them back into the district.
Very
so
serious penalties.
These guys who would normally be carrying, one individual staffer who I talked to, and I wrote up right up about the Wall Street Journal, he was sitting in his car. He could see the shooter in front of him. If he had had his, he was just working on stuff while he was waiting for his boss, the congressman who was doing the practice there. But he's convinced that he's had active shooter training. He's convinced that he could have come up from behind the guy, as once he was only like 30-some feet away from him in his car yeah. when the guy opened up firing, that he could have stopped. And, but he couldn't have his gun with him because he had come from D.C. in the morning with, it's impossible to get a permit.
But, John, if now saying that is, that's just John Lott, politicizing. This violent, because of course they'll try to spin it around and put it on you. John, I'm out of time in this segment. Thanks very much for jumping on the show today. I know you're a busy guy. CrimeResearch.org, by the way, is where you can find John's website, CrimeResearch.org. We'll take a quick break.